Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I heard Elaine. I bet that was Betty that just came. That was Betty that just came on.
Good morning, this is Elaine.
Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning.
Anybody else want to say hello?
Girl, I didn't catch that last one.
No, Nancy. Me, no. I'm here, but that wasn't me who just came out.
Good morning, this is
it. I won't do that.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Oh, that's right. No, what? Today's Tuesday. I'm on Wednesday. Shoot, oh dear.
Go ahead.
What I said to you. That's horrible. We have to do that.
That must be Steve on the train, or not, maybe?
Yep, I'm on the train.
Okay.
Sorry, just want to let everybody know I back started posting calls again last night for yesterday's call. So
you're amazing.
We'll get to work over the next 2 months to get the last 2 months back up. But we've had so many good calls the last 2 weeks. I felt so guilty. I've got to give them up.
Oh my God. Feeling guilty, Steve. You're doing this for everybody, but stop feeling guilty. You can do what you can do, and it'll be fine no matter what it is.
Serious.
You know, but if I don't have it up there, they don't have a catalog, what the heck it was, then I can't find it either. That's the problem.
There are only 24 hours in a day, Steve.
I know.
I just tried to cut out a whole day, Nancy.
Hey. They go that fast for me anyway.
I know, I never know.
All of a sudden it's 5 o'clock and it's like, oh my gosh, what did I do today? Where did it go?
Did I do anything today that I thought I was going to do?
Exactly.
I had.
Yeah. Anyone else want to say hello? Anybody have any questions, thoughts, or concerns?
Well, I have to let Char know that I made the butternut squash recipe that she forwarded to me, and it was so yummy.
Was it? Good, because I've got it in the refrigerator yet, and I haven't made it, so part of it.
I don't eat
squash.
It's still good.
Do you want to send me that recipe, and I will send it down? I'm having trouble with my computer, but I will eventually. I can't reply. Eventually, I will.
I'll just look at what I sent Betty and forward it on to you.
Oh. Did you send out the feta cheese one, Charlotte?
No, I haven't. I haven't. And that's an easy one, too. I'll put that on my list.
Has arrived.
Before I get to the show from the docs from last week, there was an article in our paper on, actually, Sunday, a week ago. Butter industry is on a roll. Anybody have this in their newspaper recently?
No.
What's on a roll? Butter. The butter industry is on a roll.
Oh, butter.
Move toward all natural, in quotes, food helps boost sales. Butter consumption has been moving steadily higher over time. Then they show a dairy farm in Wisconsin makes about a third of the nation's butter. driven by the movement toward food with natural ingredients as well as the foodie and gourmet cooking trends, the butter consumption in the U.S. has reached its highest level in 40 years. Where margarine and other spreads were once hailed as healthier alternatives to butter, the pendulum may have swung back in butter's favor. In the middle of the trend is Grassland Dairy Products, the largest family-owned butter company in the U.S. Its plants make about a third of the nation's butter. We're definitely seeing butter consumption going up. Then there's another one mentioned. It's hard-pressed to meet demand for its butter. This time of year is butter's sweet spot. They estimate at least 40% of the butter consumption in the U.S. Takes place between Thanksgiving and New Year's, driven by the holiday baking, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. butter's perishable. We can't make it in January and put it away in the warehouse until the holiday season. Butter's numbers have been moving steadily higher over time. During the past decade, Americans have increased their butter intake by 24%. The last 5 years, butter has really taken off. Growth in butter consumption is expected to continue. Butter consumption now reached 5.6 pounds a year per capita, up from a low point of 4.1 in 1997. All of this is good news for Wisconsin's dairy industry, of course. Having end markets for all of the milk produced in the state is important economically. The stronger the demand, the higher those prices are going to be in a relative sense. Every producer benefits when butter demands go up. Some of the increase in butter consumption is due to the shift in consumer preferences away from ingredients and away from processed foods, artificial ingredients, and trans fats derived from partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. The FDA last month began the process of banning trans fats from the U.S. food supply. Butter is as natural as you can get, in quotes. It's cream and salt. That doesn't mean you should gobble down a stick of butter for breakfast every morning, but butter should be consumed in moderation as part of a balanced diet, dairy experts say. And the dairy experts are the ones who know, right?
And are you following that with what Oz said yesterday?
What was yesterday? I didn't watch Oz yet.
Okay. Well, he had part of it was on, I think it was yesterday or else, yeah, it had to be because I'm not transferring over right now in the last 2 days. But anyway, he said, okay, we're going to cover the three healthiest fats. And he said, and we're getting away from butter and animal fat. So that was interesting.
Oh,
I thought that's right where you were going to go and just put a quick clip in there about it.
I haven't watched Oz yesterday yet. No, this is from a week ago Sunday, and I forgot to do it last week when I did the call on Tuesday. But I thought it was just interesting how, I guess if you're comparing margarine to butter, obviously I think butter might be a better choice. But again, it's like Oz has said in the past, if you're going to use any of these, quote, healthier fats, including coconut oil, it's in place of other fats, not in addition to.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit, he's definitely off of what we gave because he didn't even include coconut oil in one of the three. And he went back to two that we don't even talk about much anymore. The top first one he gave was peanut oil to protect the heart. The second one he gave was grapeseed oil for, because of the high point of burn. And so same thing with milk.
What was the what was the name of that, Char? I'm already spoken.
The second one was grapeseed oil. And it was the high point, smoking point was
right.
High. The same thing on the peanut oil. So you can fry and saute. You can saute. He says don't take any of them to the smoking point. And then the third one, of course, we know is flaxseed oil, but he says do not heat. And the first thing I thought about was our butter recipe, which includes half coconut oil and half flaxseed oil. And I have a pint in the refrigerator that we go out of, and instead of putting something even like a nut butter on, I do when I've got really tasty breads like I do right now, and I prefer having a slice of toast to something sweet, I put that on instead of using a heavier nut butter unless I'm using the cashew butter.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, the other thing he said was not to exceed 2 tablespoons a day,
right.
And that's in the same thing that Drummer says and several other people that we've followed.
Yeah.
Other than Esselstyn, who says none. So.
Right. I'm happy with just using coconut oil on my toast sometimes. I've never been a butter lover anyway. So just putting some coconut oil, and I know that it's good for me. I'm comfortable with that, and I like the taste. You don't really even taste.
The other thing you're, well see, this you can taste, and the other thing that you're gonna be upset about, and see, because you've been, and all of us have been, we've been really, Denny is in the same category, cause he really patrols the salt. And so I said, we have done damage.
Yep.
By cutting way back on the salt.
Oh. Yeah, I can't believe that anybody who eats anything outside of what they're making in their own kitchen, and not using any salt, does not get enough salt.
That's exactly what he said, but he wants it up to a teaspoon a day. And the reason being, and I can see what he's talking about, he gave what is taking place in the body. He shows the whole thing. He said, we cut way back, like we did on, have done on other things, we swung the pendulum too far, and he said, we are causing heart attacks with too small of an amount of salt. He said, you need to put it in your kitchen. It needs to be, I don't know, he didn't really go over the right kind of salt, but what it made me think about was the study that the guy in Nikan did, Offerly, I think it is, on the real salt that is chemical free and not pollutants in it because it's not mined out in the ocean or above the ground. It's the real salt from Utah that's mined from thousands of years ago where there was no pollutants in the air or the ground at that time. And he brought blood sugars into balance faster than anything that they could do in the clinics or hospitals.
Wow.
And he was tossing a very small amount in the hand and then drinking water to wash it down. Now see, I love the taste of that. That has a taste. It doesn't just taste salt.
Oh.
Have you used that at all, Nancy?
No, I bought it and haven't done anything with it.
I'm concerned
about adding more salt.
I think that there's enough proof to back what Oz said as well as Offerly because it was done medical studies, both of them. And he gave the description, so be a little open-minded. I know we can touch on these things. You know, I've done it so many times myself. So I just thought it was interesting because it was backing up and also McDougal had said that when we were down there. He said, you guys, salt has been given a really bad rap.
But they're also saying instead of the average 1,500 milligrams that most people should be eating maximum, they're eating twice that much. That's why.
Well, that's what he said. He says, I want 2,300 milligrams a day.
You're kidding.
So that's what that's exactly. He says the average American is getting 3,500. I want you to bring it into balance. He says you've dropped too low. The 1,500 is not going to do it. He says I want good salt, or he didn't say good salt. I want salt that you add into your food, not that's processed into food. He says I don't want the stuff that it's processed into. He says that's off limits. He says I want you to put it in. So you know exactly how much. And he took a teaspoon, dumped it in a small salt shaker, and said, this is the amount I want you to use.
So what he's also saying is stop eating processed foods.
Right.
You will probably not be getting enough if you do that.
He says, do not know how much you're putting in, and it's in the wrong food in the first place.
Of course. So there's the bottom line there. Yeah. If you are not eating processed foods, you may not be getting enough salt. I will definitely agree with that.
Well, and the wrong kind of salt as well.
Yeah.
If you're eating processed foods and getting your salt from that, you're getting the wrong kind. So, you know, it's just a whole package of going to whole food again. Whole food, and he says, there's more to it than that, but that's enough. I just wanted to say some of the illustrations because it's
on. No, I appreciate that. I will watch it today anyway to see. Okay, anybody have any other questions or thoughts? I really wanted to go over from the docs last Wednesday on docs investigate what's really in your food. Surprising, addictive, stuff. Addiction, addictive behaviors. Anyway, anybody want to bring anything up before this? Is Jeannie on the call?
I'm listening in.
Oh, you are. You'll see why in a second.
Okay.
I mean, this program was just such an eye-opener for me. for me, and I'm just going to go through my notes, and we're living in a food experiment right now. Our foods are so different from the way they were just 50 years ago. If we don't stop eating these type of harmful food additives, it's going to be the demise of us. And the person who said that was Dee McCaffrey. She's co-founder of Process Free America. Her degree is CDC. She's a chemist. And I tried to differentiate who was saying what during this. Also had Michael Moss on sugar, salt, sugar, fat. There are chemicals everywhere in our food supply, and we don't know whether they're safe or not. The average consumer wants food to taste good and has no idea of the tremendous science of the, tremendous science behind it. And then there was a Howard Moskowitz on from the food industry. He's a food industry scientist. That he just said that comment. Then Dee said,
has arrived.
Chemicals she was using in her work in the lab were showing up an ingredients list on some of the foods Americans were eating every day. And she's a chemist. Then Moskowitz said his science isn't making people obese. It's making delicious food. Now he's the one, Moskowitz is the one, not, Howard Moskowitz is the one with the food industry scientist. Then Moskowitz, go ahead.
I would say, oh,
Moss said, who is the salt, sugar, fat guy, they rely on salt, sugar, and fat to make products convenient, utterly irresistible taste, and lower price. Two-thirds of us are overweight or obese. Every 17 seconds, someone is diagnosed with diabetes. Cancer kills more than 500,000 Americans every year. Every year, we spend over $400 billion on processed foods, and they taste great so far. They're addictive. We worry about too much salt, sugar, and fat. The U.S. uses 2,500 chemically defined flavoring additives. American consumer, on average, added 22 added teaspoons of sugar per day. It can add up to 70 pounds a year. They're having twice as much sodium per day that we should be eating. That potentially leads to health problems. Engineered foods create cravings. Eat them and they kick off a stream of dopamine in the brain, in the brain's pleasure center, and it feels oh so good. The taste point spot is spot on. We get a dopamine rush and you feel good. Normally, I think he said GABA, and I wasn't sure of the word, listened to it several times, still could not pick up. To counteract that, balance things out, more and more you flood the brain with these perfectly engineered foods that the dopamine becomes overwhelming. Also, in response to all the sugar, the pancreas is releasing more and more insulin. Insulin grabs onto the sugar molecule, and it shepherds it into the cells, and you can then get a drop in blood sugar level, and the brain says, what's going on? Where did all the sugar go? I'd better just eat more. Without all the sugar, the pleasure centers drop in activity, and you don't feel good till you go for the next chip or candy or whatever. With real food, some have to add a lot of sugar or salt to make it taste like the engineered food. Every year, kids see 5,500 commercials for crappy food. That's my word. One commercial every 3 days for fruit. Quite a difference. They see 5,500 every day for the bad stuff. And maybe once every 3 days, they'll see one for fruit or vegetables or bottled water. Then Moss said, cheese is a huge player in obesity. 33 pounds per person per year is what we eat. Triple what it was in the 70s. Cheese now makes made with dry milk and added sodium as a preservative. 90% is made with milk-like substances, whey powder, and more milk milk is replaced. In 2002, the FDA required food companies to stop calling it cheese, and it's now called cheese food. You know, all these kind of processed foods, that's what they're saying. And the ingredients in these duped food, milk, and these are, I don't know what that word is, milk, whey products, protein concentrate, water, salt, and there's a whole list. I mean, sodium phosphate, sodium citrate, sodium this, sodium that. So you wonder, but phosphine glycerol also is in sexual lubricants. And one of the doctors said, oh, sign me up for that one. And this is what people are eating. FDA says it's safe to eat. Cheese food, sexual lubricant, polyester pants, and antifreeze may share the same ingredients. Interesting. Then D says, people are largely in the dark just how processed our foods are. Today, we know the food chemicals still being bad in the food supply and causing health problems. You know, that's it. Oh, wait, here's another one, who is a food science, I forget, Chapman University, and it's an Indian name, doesn't believe there are any processed foods or food ingredients that are harmful to health. Actual foods ingredients regulated by the FDA and the EPA, and she has faith in them. Be aware of butylated hydro, BHT and BHA, which are synthetic compounds and preservatives. They're in frozen pizza, gum, cereal, snack bars, embalming fluid, rubber, jet fuel, and in our food. Both are potential carcinogens. Completely avoid BHA. Caution against BHT. Animal studies suggest BHA may lead to tumors. Animals have been shown to have birth defects. Then in the protein powder, something potassium in it. It's derived from a soy protein powder, whey protein, etc. Like drinking soda, as common ingredients, 200 times sweeter than sugar. Artificial sweetener may be listed as acesulfame, potassium, acesulfame K, 8K. The health risk, large doses could potentially affect the thyroid function in some animals, rats, dogs, rabbits. Other rat studies potentially linked it to cancer. FDA says recognized as safe. 50 milligrams per kilogram of weight. Popcorn and some with butter, the butter substitute, diacetyl, intensifies the effects of abnormal brain protein found in Alzheimer's. May have an impact on brain linked to lung disease. Some companies have taken it out of the products listed as artificial flavor, as in some coffee creamers, especially if butter, scotch, caramel, vanilla. FDA, of course, says it's safe. We eat nearly 50 burgers, which is 3 patties a week, and you can gain 50 pounds a year. Grass, and this is all, okay, that's EPA. EPA says DDT pesticide and bioaccumulative pesticides, so residue could be at low levels in fat of the beef cattle for many years. So FDA says it's safe, and yet these things can remain. All these pesticides can remain in the fat of the animal for many years. The amount found well below the level limit for the FDA. Then they say grass-fed has less fat, more vitamin A and E compared.
Nancy?
Yeah, that's basically the big part, but it's just interesting how the FDA, go ahead.
I was just going to give you, guys, a quick illustration. I mentioned it once before, I know. if you happen to have to get into an in-between restaurant like one of the franchise lines, that's not, you know, a McDonald's or a drive-thru or that, whatever, and you get, they have cheese and you say, leave it off the salad, tell them to put it on the side and take it home and do like I did, if you get the same demo that you can use, because mine sat here wrapped up for several days, and then I looked at it, and it was all dried out and hard. Okay, this is a perfect illustration in my mind of exactly what happens in your arteries with the man-made cheese. Not saying the other's good, of course, but because it's animal fat, but this was even a worse one for me because there was no assimilation, I can't imagine, utilized in the body with that kind of cheese. And it rattles around in a bag, and I've shown it to I don't know how many people. I says, this is cheese. Well, it may not be what totally what you're eating, but you're getting it when you're eating out. If you're eating in any of the, what they would call a family restaurant, like maybe a Sherry's or a deli. This actually came out of a deli. And so I thought, you know, people need visualization, I think. You know, to shake them loose a little bit. You know, I hate to show it in the community because that's where it came from, with the deli in the community. So, but I don't need to say where it came, which restaurant it came from.
I think that as a consumer, we just expect when we go someplace to eat that they're going to serve us food that is, I always get what you pay for sometimes. But the FDA says it's okay, so you're caught between a rock and a hard place.
I was going to say, at some restaurants, the waiters don't, or the waitresses don't know what they're, you know, bringing out.
No.
Meaning, like, ordered a salad at Applebee's with, and I said, no meat, no dairy, and it still had cheese on it. Not meat or
cheese. Yeah. You're right, they don't. I usually get, well, I don't know, I'll have to go ask if there's any dairy in it. You know, I mean, they don't, and especially like if you get a soup or something, they don't have a clue what's in it. They have to go read a label off of a package because if it's a chain restaurant, franchised restaurant, there, it's not made there. It's shipped in.
Yeah.
And I guess you guys would all know that. So anyway.
I know that. Remember a while ago when I had read something about Applebee's in particular makes nothing in their restaurant.
That would go for most all of the rest of them that are franchises, because that's why they're franchised. Everything's a turnkey operation.
Didn't I know that? I don't know.
See, I had a comment. You were talking about the coconut oil before. I had had, it was Now brand, and it had a slight coconut taste to it, and I really liked it. And then when I went to the store, they had a different brand, and I thought, well, that looked good. It was supposed to be organic and everything, so I bought that. And that one has no coconut taste at all. And I notice now the difference. This one is processed. The other one was unprocessed.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
It really needs to say first cold processed 100% virgin coconut oil.
Both of them said that, but this one does say it's processed, where the other one said it was not processed. So,
because I know that when I first got introduced to it by Kathleen Anderson, when she came through here and her daughter was a very strict vegan, she says there's only one coconut oil on the market that my daughter-in-law will use, and it's Wilderness, and it was only one of the Wilderness option, because they have processed different coconut oil, and it was available on from Azure Standard. That's where they were getting it. But she says that is the only coconut oil, because the rest of them do not meet the same standard, and you can taste and see the difference in it.
Mine says 100% unrefined organic extra virgin coconut oil.
Yeah, it's unrefined. That makes a difference. So I won't buy refined again.
This
that's
for
sure.
And a lot of them don't say refined or unrefined.
Yeah. And then on the label, and you know, on the side, it says certified organic, cold pressed extra virgin, perfect for healthy high heat cooking up to 350. No trans or hydrogenated. Great taste.
Yeah.
That covers everything. As far as I know, anyway.
So, you know, I've been buying it, since Costco's right here, I've been buying it there, rather than having, what's the one that we ordered from? Thank you. Yeah, I ordered it there, I don't remember whether it was spring or summer, and you know it gets liquid when it's warm, and it, what a mess it came. I mean, they didn't even ask me to ship it back. They just gave me a refund.
Oh.
I was all over the place. So don't order it this time if you're mail ordering it somewhere.
No, and actually Costco's a better price than Vitacosta was the last time I compared anyway.
I didn't check. In fact, Murray, I had mentioned it too, that he should be using that instead of butter, and I sent some to him last week when Marty went, and he hasn't tasted it yet, but I said, you know, if you want it, I said, Costco has it. I don't know, I hadn't checked lately with Vitagos, but, you know, I would get him a jar at Costco when I go.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's a much bigger jar from Vitagos, or from Costco than Vitagos, and the price is within a dollar.
I thought they were the same size.
No, they're not. They look the same. They're the same shape and everything, but they're 178 ounces and the other is 50-some ounces.
78?
Yeah, I think that's what mine says. I'll go look.
Mine is 54 from Costco.
Okay. Oh, wow.
It's a good size jar. I had first gotten it when we were in Maine, and I bought a small jar just to see what I liked or not. And at that time, there was also a dispute whether it was or was not healthy. But then I bought it at Vitacost.
Okay, mine is from Costco, and it's 78 ounces. And it was $21.99.
That's cheap.
Yep, it is.
Apparently, we don't carry the same size things or the same, I don't know if the pricing is even the same sharp across the country.
You'll have to look the next time. How long have you had it? This one I just recently picked up.
It's not that long. In fact, when I was there 2 weeks ago, I checked for Murray just to see what the price was. And I think I told him this is what it is at Costco. Check and see what it is at Vitacost because I don't know. I think they're not too far away, but at least it's right here. I can get it for him.
What is yours, Nancy? Betty, I heard you starting to say something.
Our Costco carries the same size as what Nancy is talking about, and that's, is it like $15.99, Nancy? Is that what you're thinking, 15 something?
I did write it down. Let me go. I think I have it in my purse.
And I bought mine like a week and a half ago, so it's still that same size here.
Yeah.
Not larger.
Isn't that interesting that it would be? I got another one in the pantry. I was just double checking to make sure that I didn't get something else put in from someplace else. But no, I just picked another one up because when I open one, I get a replacement because of its long shelf life. You don't have to worry about it. My area that I keep it in is very cool. So
mine was $15.39. Is that what you said, Betty?
It was 15 something, and I thought maybe no higher than 99. So
yeah, 39. Wrote down, yeah.
Great size.
Mine was more cost, but.
But yours is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big jar. And it does, mine does last a long time.
I made
cranberry. The kids were here for dinner Saturday night, and I made that cranberry thing that I make only usually for Thanksgiving. And since Mindy wasn't here, I decided it calls for a stick of butter, which is normally what we've used on the top for the, it's oatmeal and, I don't forget what else, you know, for a crunch on the top of it. And I used coconut oil instead. Nobody knew except Mindy said, I also used some stevia instead of all the sugar. Well, it doesn't use a lot of sugar instead of the sugar. And Mindy picked that up. She kept saying, there's something different. It's not the same. And I just ignored her. But the coconut oil worked fine on the top, which was, you know, substitute for butter.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've used it for all butter and You know, the oils are a little bit different because if it's on a salad dressing, it's going to coagulate if it's cold.
Right.
You know, which is not what I want. But everything else that I do, I have substitute. And actually, I really like the butter. I went back to just using the coconut oil on my toast. The butter that I make with half flaxseed oil, which the real reason for that is it's got the highest omegas in it. You're getting the omegas, you're not heating it, and the taste is, I mean, all of my kids would rather have that than anything that they get served at home for butter, grandkids, that is, because the flavor's there. It tastes like much closer to a butter. And you can taste the salt in it too, because I am using real salt in it, which gives it more flavor. So anyway, I'm totally thrilled with making that once every maybe 2 months and going through just, you know, that amount, instead of, using the other, and, you know, feeling good about the combination I'm getting, just one more thing into my diet. But anyway.
Yeah. Whatever works.
Yeah, but try it, guys. Try it and just see. See how it goes over with your family. That was the main thing, because my family most of them would not use straight coconut oil on their toast instead of butter. That's just their taste buds.
And it melts right in, which is nice. It's about if the toast is
the best thing, if you want to do, and I haven't been doing this lately, is put it on before you put it in the toaster. You won't use as much of it that way. But you still have the flavor and you know, I can send that recipe down to you again if you want. I don't know that I ever typed it up, but I've got it on my phone because I've given it to so many people. Under idea of butter, B-U-T-T-A-R is what I call it.
Or B-U-T-T-A, as Barbara Streisand would say, from New York.
Butter.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to go. At one of her concerts, I remember years ago, somebody yelled out, "You're like butter," and she said, "Butter." I'm like, "Butter?" Whatever that meant. Hey.
Oh, I put the R on it.
Anyway, maybe there was, but, you know, New Yorkers don't necessarily talk the same. Anyone have any final questions, thoughts, concerns? Hopefully we had something from the doctor. It's just an eye-opener for me, and I said to Marty, I'm originally going to delete it, and I said, you've got to just watch this. You know, I just think it's worth your 40 minutes to spend sitting here. So he has a hand.
That was excellent info.
I get a little jarbled when I can't read my writing.
Hey, Charlotte?
Yes?
If you'd be kind enough to send that butter recipe down or send it off your phone or whatever, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, I will do it.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
You too, Steve. Thanks for everything you do. And stop doing so much. Take time to do something else that's important.
You're welcome. Yeah, I got my Vigo information kit yesterday, so now I'm cranked to get that read and practiced and used.
Steve, I still need you to call me sometime when it's convenient. I never know y'all's schedule.
Okay, send me an email.
This is Mary Lou.
Yeah, Mary Lou, just send me an email with contact.
All righty, I'll do it.
Thank you, dear. Have a good day, everybody. Goodbye.
Anybody else? Final thoughts, questions?
Has left the conference.
Well, I really appreciate everybody's interest and participation and the discussions. We have a great. Have a great day, everybody. Stay warm wherever you are, and we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Wednesday. No matter what we do, it will be Wednesday. But
well.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.